only thing we have to fear is...
In war, there is no substitute for victory.
Let us never negotiate out of fear.
We stand undivided, forever united, fighting hand in hand for the liberty we burn, for glory and honor, for our sons and daughters, ever mindful of the lessons we've learned. Let the torch of freedom burn.
Welcome to Wobblers Live, the intersection of faith and politics. I'm Rick Green here with David Barton and Tim Barton. We appreciate you joining us today, and especially on a Friday, because that means it's good news. And fellas, I know you got a lot of great news to share with us. I don't know if we're going international, if we're going to a particular state or a particular topic. I love just the surprises y'all give me every week to share some good news and uplift my spirits, knowing we can make a difference if we get involved.
I'm not going to give you national or international right now. I'm going to give you a math test. So are you ready for a math test?
It's good news. I did not come in today expecting a math test.
Yeah, I did not forewarn you about this. This is just a math test.
There is nothing good news about a math test.
Well, it's going to be funny for the rest of us.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah, we'll get the laugh.
All right, here we are. What do you call 10 to the 6th power?
I would call it 10 to the 6th power.
Yeah, 10 to the 6th power.
No.
10
to
6.
You call it million. Million.
Well, sure. I mean, that's the other word.
What do you call 10 to the 9th power?
Billion.
Billion. What do you call 10 to the 12th power?
Trillion.
Trillion.
What do you call 10 to the...
We're catching on, Tim.
Yeah. All right, keep going.
I'm about to run out.
Million, billion, trillion. What's next?
I don't know. Gazillion?
Zillion.
No. After trillion comes quadrillion.
Oh, quadrillion.
Sure, got it.
Because that's Tim, our paychecks every week. We're
quadrillion.
I see that number, so never.
Yes.
Yeah. So trillion, quadrillion, then what? Got quiet. You guys aren't doing well. All right, quintillion.
10 to the 20th power.
10 to the 18th power.
That was close.
Sextillion, 10 to the 21st power. Septillion, 10 to the 24th power.
Is there a reptillion by any chance?
Yeah. Last one we're going to give you is octillion, 10 to the 27th power. And it keeps going up from there, okay? But that gets us 10. That's a 1 followed by 27 zeros. Got that?
It's a lot.
All right. Do you know who Carl Sagan is?
Yes.
Who's Carl Sagan?
Carl Sagan was... back in the day that one of the evolutionist guys promoted some Marxism, among other things.
Carl Sagan was an astronomer. So Carl Sagan, the astronomer, back in 1966, Time Magazine had a big headline. And in that era, 1966, Carl Sagan announced that there were two important criteria for a planet to support life. Two things you had to have for a planet to support life. You ready for this? The first is you have to have the right kind of star, and you have to have, number two, a planet that's the right distance from that star. Okay. Now, do you know how many planets there are in the universe that they know of right now?
I'm going to go with one of those gazillion numbers you had.
Gazillion's not a number.
Oh, yeah. A reptilion. No, wait. One of those millzillions.
The number of planets is an octillion. That's 1 followed by 24 zeros. Okay.
That was the largest one you gave us.
The largest one I gave you.
Okay.
That's how many planets. And so with the two criteria that it needs to support life, and that is the right kind of star and the right distance from the star, they calculated that there would be 1 septillion planets. And 1 septillion is 1 followed by 21 zeros. That's the one right below quadrillion. Or below octillion, 1 septillion would be capable of supporting life. Now, with that, that's why they have done so much extensive research with the telescopes and other things of other planets and a vast radio telescopic network, listening for signals and encoded intelligence and anything they could hear. I mean, they're listening across the universe. They've got so many devices they do. And they've been doing this. And as of 2014, you know how many planets they found with life on it?
Planets with life?
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing Earth.
Earth. And that, I guess that's debatable whether there's life there or not.
Well, he didn't say intelligent life.
That's right.
I didn't say intelligent life. Right. Okay. Earth is the only one. Now, there were supposed to be up to one followed by 21 zeros. In other words, one septillion. And only one. And what's happening? What's the deal? Well, what they have found is that Carl Sagan was wrong, and this is back in 66, chief evolutionist, Carl Sagan, astronomer, he was wrong. It is not two criteria needed to support life on a planet. There are now 200, at least 200 criteria that are needed. 200.
So it's a little more complicated than he anticipated.
A little more complicated, and every single one of the 200, if not perfectly met, the whole thing falls apart. So it can't be 199.999. It's got to be 200 exactly. 200 perfect criteria. And see, what makes Earth work, among other things, is we got a big planet nearby named Jupiter, which has got a big enough gravitational field that it draws away asteroids. And so asteroids whack Jupiter rather than Earth. So if you're going to have a life-sustaining planet, you got to have another planet big enough close by at a near enough distance to draw the asteroid. And so you go through all these things, and now that they know that there are 200, they're getting this movement in the scientific community toward what we call intelligent design. And as a matter of fact, the guy who coined the term Big Bang, are you ready for this? The guy who, Fred Hoyle, he's the astronomer who coined the term Big Bang, said that his atheism was, quote, greatly shaken, unquote, at these new developments.
Wow.
He later wrote that a, quote, common sense interpretation of the facts suggests that a super intellect has monkeyed with the physics as well as with the chemistry and biology. The numbers one calculates from the facts seem to me so overwhelming as to put this conclusion almost beyond question. That's an atheist astronomer. So you're looking now at a fairly interesting set, you know, I'm sure kids,
I'm beginning to agree the math test has some good news at the end of it.
Well, I'm going to bet that most kids in public universities, government universities, have not heard these results yet.
No doubt.
Nor have they heard that it takes 200 perfect criteria and only one planet out of, and remember how many planets there were? Quadrillion? How many?
27
octillion,
zeros.
Not quadrillion.
Octatrillion. Yeah. How'd you say it? Octatrillion?
Octillion.
Octillion.
Octillion. So one followed by 27 zeros, only one planet out of those many planets capable of sustaining life.
Wow.
It does seem like design might be possible. So science seems to be backing up the Bible again. That
interesting.
Maybe creation was, yeah.
Good
so
news,
maybe
guys.
There is a God.
Yeah, maybe there is a God. So,
and that is definitely some good news.
That's good news.
All right, quick break, guys.
Not that he needs us to validate that by any means.
That's right. It's good for us to know it. Acknowledge it, recognize it. We'll be right back. More good news for you here on Wild Builders Live.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. In several decisions over recent years, the Supreme Court has consistently ruled that it is unconstitutional for the government to encourage religion. Did our founding fathers agree with this? Consider the words of Henry Lawrence, a signer of the Constitution and a president of Congress. Henry Lawrence declared, "I had the honor of being one who framed that Constitution. In order effectually to accomplish these great ends set forth in the Constitution, it is especially the duty of those who bear rule to promote and encourage respect for God and virtue, and to discourage every degree of vice and immorality." Founding Father Henry Lawrence believed that the goals of the Constitution could not be fulfilled apart from a fear and a respect for God, and that it was therefore the duty of government to encourage this among the people.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
We're back. Thanks for staying with us here on Wild Builders Live, bringing you some good news on Friday here. And by the way, if you want some more, you can get it at our website at wildbuilderslive.com in the archive section there. Scroll back to those Friday programs where we shared good news. All right, fellas, what's up next?
Well, let me jump back on what we just talked about with Earth being the only one of that, you know, one with 27 zero planets. And of the 200 factors you need to sustain life, Earth has it. No other planet. I mean, just incredible. Well, it reminded me of a couple of videos. There's a pastor from Georgia, Louis Giglio, who has two absolutely incredible teachings he did several years ago. One is called Indescribable, and one is called How Great Is Our God, where he talks about the intricacies of God's creation as far as the Earth and planets are concerned, looking kind of out to other planets. And really,
by the way, it's based on photographs taken by the Hubble telescope, because when you get out from the atmosphere of the Earth and you get beyond the atmosphere where there's no dust, nothing to contaminate. It's so hard for telescopes to see through to other planets from the inside the atmosphere. But outside the atmosphere, what they've got out of the Hubble telescope is unbelievable. They got colors out there that you can't find on a chip chart anywhere in any paint store anywhere in the world. God is so creative. So that's what's cool about those DVDs of his too, is they are loaded up visually. It's unbelievable.
And he really does show a lot of those planets, show a lot of the galaxies, and kind of puts in perspective some of this stuff and really shows what the Bible teaches about it. But really, it's just kind of a science lesson, a super fun, very engaging. In fact, I think you probably even can find them on YouTube, but it's something that you need to see it and really is worth gathering the family, getting some friends, you know, get some popcorn, have a movie night, watch Indescribable and How Great Is Our God. Both of them absolutely incredible.
They really are. You can get the DVDs at Christian bookstores. He's got Chris Tomlin there singing the music. I mean, it's a powerful, powerful deal. I mean, I remember the golf ball thing he uses to show the deer. It's really cool how he does it. It was crazy. Our family, somebody brought us one of those. We didn't know anything about him. And somebody brought us one of those videos, and we ended up watching a bunch of his different videos.
Rick.
And then I went back and found...
Rick.
What? Let me introduce you to Santa Claus.
That was us.
It was you.
That was
really?
Us. That was us.
Yes. You're welcome.
I have such Rick. Good friends. I am so blessed. Hey, you guys got anything else you want to send me? Because that's become one of our favorites. Yeah. Here's what's really crazy, though. Okay, so we fall in love with Giglio after that and watch all these videos. And then I'm cleaning out my shed, and I find this cassette tape, a set of cassette tapes from back when he was at Baylor doing a Bible study like 20 years ago that somebody had given it to me. And I remembered the content of it, but I didn't remember it was this guy, Louis Giglio. Is that weird or what?
Well, it really is pretty amazing how God has really grown and blessed what he has done as a leader. And he still does college ministry. And he really is one of the best college ministers that I've ever heard of.
Is he still doing that Passion Conference?
He still does. He does Passion Conferences every single year. And he gets literally tens of thousands of college students that come. And he just really teaches the Word of God to them.
In a relevant way.
Very
And with those
practical.
Kind of visuals and stuff, it's just unbelievable.
I mean, really, absolutely, absolutely incredible job he does. And God really has blessed what he's done. And so his church even right now is thriving. But as far as a college communicator, he's one of the best. And so especially for parents or teachers or pastors that are listening, I mean, he's got some great DVDs that would be really good for high school students, for college students, for Bible study kind of stuff.
For adults, and, for everybody.
I mean, really it is. But for sure, Indescribable and How Great Is Our God are two that need to be in your collection. You need to watch them. You need to see them. Really great stuff.
And if you're fortunate enough to be friends with the Bartons, they might even give you one like they did me, and I didn't even remember to thank them for it. So that's pretty bad. So now we're going to go to break as I'm embarrassed. We'll be back in a moment with more good news here on Wall Builders Live.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. How should we respond if confronted with frustration and conflict? The proper response was given over 200 years ago in a lengthy speech when Benjamin Franklin told the delegates at the Constitutional Convention, "In this situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understanding? Have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? God governs in the affairs of men. I therefore move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business." Benjamin Franklin knew that prayer was the proper response.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
Welcome back to Wall Builders Live. It's Good News Friday. Thanks for staying with us today. David and Tim Barton sharing some good news with us. What's up next, guys?
Well, we're going to look at global warming, which I know is something that our listeners are just riveted, edge of their seats, anticipating global warming news. But as we know, often with government programs and government-funded things, they don't always do the most efficient. Sometimes they're agenda-driven. Well, you guys know the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
That's the UN's group over climate change. About 2,500 scientists they have.
That's right. And this is what our government funds, our government supports, our government says these are the guys we listen to. Well, it's interesting. There are people, scientists, that are on the other side of the aisle on this whole climate change, global warming debate. And it's the Non-Governmental International Panel on Climate Change. So it's the NIPCC. And they actually just came out with another rebuttal to the IPCC's conclusions. And they actually present that there are literally thousands of peer-reviewed articles the IPCC has ignored in coming to their conclusions with their quote-unquote empirical evidence, saying that this global warming catastrophe has come and it's going to be detrimental. And so good news is that the scientists on the other side have come out and said, actually, hey, what they're telling us isn't quite right. And we've talked about it many times with the global warming hoax that it is and this man-made global warming. I think last Good News Friday, we talked about the rainforest. Yeah. And how the CO2 is helping the rainforest to grow. And we talked about how ice expands and global warming is really not the way it looks. Well, now we have scientists coming out and confirming for us that actually that's true. This global warming thing, not quite what we thought it was, at least as far as the government and the IPCC is telling us.
Now, and one other thing is if you're not in the academic world, and most normal people aren't, you don't know what a peer-reviewed thing, how big that is in the academic world. You don't have standing unless your writing, your article, your book, your whatever has been peer-reviewed by those in your field, and they approve of it. And so for a group of scientists to come out and say, here are thousands of peer-reviewed articles that show that global warming is not what you guys are saying it is, for them to come out with thousands of peer-reviewed articles and say, here's the rest of the story you wouldn't tell, that's big stuff.
And by the way, one of the things they pointed out is that the IPCC is saying that global warming is more dangerous and more detrimental than global cooling. And so even though it looks like we're cooling right now, we don't care about cooling, we still have to be concerned with global warming, even though we're not warming.
Even though we haven't warmed since 1994.
Even though we're not warming, we have to be concerned with this because this is the dangerous thing. And they're pointing out what you're saying isn't correct. It's not accurate. It's not more detrimental. It's not more dangerous. It's not hurting the earth like you're saying it's hurting the earth. And they have thousands of peer-reviewed articles that the IPCC has simply ignored.
Well, the other thing that's interesting about IPCC is over the last 20 years or so, as long as they've been doing this, however long that is, they've come out with three major reports. It's been several years between each report. They said in their first report that as a result of the melting of the polar ice caps, that water will rise so high. And you know, you look at ice at the polar caps, it's frozen water. So when it melts, it's going to create so much more water that they said that you would be able to launch boats off the steps of the U.S. Capitol. They said that because of global warming, the seas will rise from 25 to 40 feet, and you will have at least 1 billion people who are drowned as a result, because all those living in low-lying areas, all those between Washington, D.C. and the Chesapeake, they're going to drown.
Well, it's unfortunate that those people in the lowlands couldn't walk and move
to
highlands as the water was rising. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, and
I guess they had to stay put as the water rose.
Yeah, it was not a tsunami that we were talking about. It was slow
over
melt.
Over time,
yeah, that's right.
It's too bad those billion people couldn't move.
They couldn't move, apparently, and that we're going to lose a billion. But then the second report came out, I think it was 6 years later, and they said, we've modified it down from 25 to 40 down to 18 feet or so. And then the third report came out another 6 or so years later, and they said, well, we estimate it's going to be about 2 inches. I don't think 2 inches is enough to wreak havoc and destruction. Nobody pays any attention to the fact that they kept revising it down themselves. So even the IPCC doesn't have a good record of credibility, even though it's been picking and choosing its facts and has ignored thousands of peer-reviewed articles. So once again, there is lots more evidence out there, and you've got now scientists pointing to thousands of peer-reviewed articles that have been ignored.
Well, guys, you know, 2 inches. I mean, that is, you know, you're being insensitive to Stuart Little.
That's right. And can I point out, being from Texas, we'd sure like 2 inches of
water. Yeah,
down
we'll
here.
Take it. We'll
send it our way.
If we could melt those real quick, we'd appreciate it.
All right, quick break. We'll get some more good news when we come back. Guys, it's also good news to me what you just shared, just from the standpoint of sometimes almost everybody's saying the same thing and they're still wrong. You stick with the truth even if you're the only one that believes it at the time, and sometimes you just got to persuade, and God's truth will come out, and it will show up regardless of all the scientists saying the wrong thing today. Back in a moment, we got some more good news for you here on Wobblers Live. Have you ever wanted to learn more about the United States Constitution, but just felt like, man, the classes are boring, or it's just that old language from 200 years ago, or I don't know where to start? People want to know, but it gets frustrating because you don't know where to look for truth about the Constitution either. Well, we've got a special program for you available now called Constitution Alive with David Barton and Rick Green. And it's actually a teaching done on the Constitution at Independence Hall in the very room where the Constitution was framed. We take you both to Philadelphia, the cradle of liberty and Independence Hall, and to the Wall Builders Library, where David Barton brings the history to life to teach the original intent of our founding fathers. We call it the Quick Start Guide to the Constitution because in just a few hours through these videos, you will learn the Citizen's Guide to America's Constitution. You'll learn what you need to do to help save our constitutional republic. It's fun, it's entertaining, and it's going to inspire you to do your part to preserve freedom for future generations. It's called Constitution Alive with David Barton and Rick Green. You can find out more information on our website now at wallbuilders.com.
Let the torch of freedom burn.
We're back with more good news here on Wall Builders Live. David, Tim Barton, who's up next?
Well, let's take one out of New York. Now, this goes back to a Supreme Court decision a number of years ago, Westside versus Mergens, in which the Supreme Court ruled unanimously 8-0. And by the way, when you get a unanimous ruling from the Supreme Court, when you can get liberals and moderates and squishes to all agree on the same thing, that's pretty resounding. And the Supreme Court said, you know what? If a campus has clubs, it can also have religious clubs. So if a campus has a journalism club or a rodeo club or a scuba club or a chess club or whatever, it can have all types of clubs, including evangelism clubs and worship clubs and Bible clubs and whatever kids want to come up with. Well, in New York, they apparently don't keep up with what the court says. And so at a school there, a student named Liz Loverday, she got with the principal and said, I want to start a Dare to Believe club. It's a Christian club. It's called Dare to Believe, challenge to stand up for our faith. And the principal said, wait a minute, to have a Christian organization violates the U.S. Constitution.
I remember that, right? That's in like Article 3, Section Nowhere.
Yeah.
Section Nowhere.
It's in the Book of Noah, Chapter 4, Verse 12 in the Book of Noah. Yeah.
That's after Second Hesitations?
Exactly. And so to be told by the principal that now think of the mentality it takes to say that having a Christian organization violates the Constitution. And this is a person in charge of however many hundreds of kids are up there. And fortunately, what Liz did was what people are doing all the time now. And they went to one of the legal groups that specialize in this stuff. And in this case, they went to Kelly Shackelford and the guys at Liberty Legal Institute. And this 15-year-old girl was willing to take on the principal and the administration. And guess what? She wins again. So this is just good news that you're starting to see kids like this with some backbone, not backing down to the administration, not backing down to those over them, and saying, you're not going to tell me I can't share my faith.
Well, this is one of the things that so often I love being able to challenge and encourage kids with the whole notion of a Daniel generation, where you have kids, you know, you think about the story of Daniel, where Daniel purposed in his heart from the very beginning, he wasn't going to defile himself. And then because of Daniel standing up, he stood up and there were three Hebrew boys that joined him. And those three Hebrew boys, they went on the Lord's diet, so to speak. They didn't go with the king's food. And then you move forward and these three Hebrew boys, the king says, everybody bow down, and they don't bow down. And then the king makes a law and says, you can only pray to me, and Daniel doesn't. They just flat out weren't going to do something that opposed what God had told them to do, even if the government and the leader said, you have to do something and we don't care what God said. And it's so great to see young people that have this Daniel mentality, this Daniel courage, this Daniel heart that say, we don't care if the king says we can't pray to God. We're going to stand in front of we're going to get up on the second floor. We're going to get in front of the window. We're going to pray to God and we don't care who sees us. It's great to see people having courage with faith and not being belligerent, not being obnoxious with it, but just very maturely saying, you know what, we're going to do the right thing, and you can't tell me I can't do what God's called me to do, which we've pointed out before is one of the great freedoms we enjoy in America. And we've also referenced when you just look at what's happened in France very recently, where someone, you know, we think in America how free speech is just taken for granted. We expect to have free speech and no one can come against us. Well, in France, it wasn't that way. Somebody offended the prophet. And so you have these Muslim terrorists that are going to come kill them because, well, we don't like what you say. In America, we have freedom, but sometimes we take it for granted. And this is one of the significant things. The reasons we have to be vigilant and stay involved is because without people standing up and fighting for these freedoms, that's something we readily could lose if we don't stand up.
And this 15-year-old girl stood up and won.
Great
news.
Gotta
love it and love being able to highlight it on this program. Thanks for listening today to some good news here on Wall Builders Live.
We stand undivided, forever united, fighting.